This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning show on the Horse Radio Network for February 19th, 2013, episode number 597.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Horses in the Morning is live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so today we bring you this previously recorded podcast for your equestrian-flavored edutainment. Sit back with your favorite beverage, or grab your manure fork, depending on your listening schedule, and enjoy Stable Scoop co-hosts Glenn the Geek and Helena B. as they run the gamut of equinism with giant donkeys, ultimate vacations, and manure pies. Horses in the Morning will be back live tomorrow at 9 a.m., replete with riotous reports regarding all things equine. And now, you'll want to have Horses in the Morning on your speed dial, because Wednesdays are Wheel of Trivia Day. That's right, during the first half hour of the show, each Wednesday morning, cleverly courageous listeners who call into the show at 347-637-3238 will have the opportunity to win fantastic prizes by responding to some exceptionally easy trivia questions. Enjoy the show.
This is Glenn the Geek.
And this is Helena B. And you're listening to the Stable Scoop Radio Show and the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. You have Helena and I this week. By the way, welcome back to the Stable Scoop Show this week. Helena had a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, we had a couple of weeks off and then a lovely blizzard and no power. Yeah. But I still have my sense of humor.
So Helena, for those that don't know, for those listening from the Western Radio Show, is in Rhode Island and only got about 3 feet of snow a couple days ago.
Yeah. And it took me about 4 days to clean my barn.
And that's the worst part. It piles up in there.
Literally, yes. Yes.
But we want to welcome everybody from the Western Radio Show as well. We are filling in for Alan and Tammy this week. Tammy is still recovering from her surgery, but doing well. She is recovering nicely from her surgery, although it was major surgery, and I know she talked about it. So they'll be back. It's just that we're going to fill in here, and we're going to get her back as soon as she's feeling better. So we wish her well at this point. But you get to share in the Stable Scoop Radio Show this week because we have something that we have a bunch of guests that we thought would appeal to both the English and the Western side. And one of them is a very large ass, Helena.
We can say that.
Yes, we can because the world's biggest
pride.
Donkey. Yeah, the world's biggest donkey. We're going to talk to the owner of that particular donkey by the name of Romulus. And we're going to find out. They just did the measurement for the Guinness World Book of Records, and we're going to find out more about that. And then we have some amazing trips that you can take from around the world with High Point Tours, and we're going to learn about one of those in particular that everybody's going to be drooling over. And then we have a segment that we do every month called Ask Murray, or Dear Murray, which is a horse that answers questions, and we're gonna pick one this month. Jody joins us. Jody speaks for Murray, and we're gonna answer one of those questions and chat about that a little bit. So we have a lot of cool stuff coming up on today's show. Helena, what was you are dug out now?
The roads are clear. Well, the main roads are clear. The back roads are still. Although today the back roads are probably clear now because it's about 42 degrees. It was about 47 yesterday. We had rain. We had a couple of inches of rain on top of 3 feet of snow.
Oh, geez.
Can I just tell you? I'm going to get like sympathy messages. I had to shovel, and we had no power. So I had to go stay at a friend's a few towns away, come back, feed the horses, water them. And then I had to shovel a path from the barn to the manure pile. But by that point, the rain had already started. So we were a couple of hours into the rain. So I had to shovel like 2.5 feet of snow in the barnyard with 4 and 5 foot drifts, probably about, I don't know, 80 feet. The path was probably about 80 feet long by hand. And then I had to push a full wheelbarrow through this path, which was like soggy. And so even though it's shoveled, you push the wheelbarrow and you hit like a soft spot.
Yep.
And you sink. And it's just like, oh my God.
I can't imagine the mud you're going to have too.
Oh my God. I was so tired. I practically fell asleep at 6:30 last night.
The mud too. Oh, the mud.
Yeah. The mud is okay. You don't have to shovel the mud. You just have to walk through it.
That's true. We're kind of spoiled down here. I live in Florida, and we're kind of spoiled in Florida because we don't have the mud. We have sand, so we never get mud. And that is kind of nice. It'll rain hard, you know, 3 inches of rain, and half an hour later, it's nothing. You know, can't even tell it rained. But you don't have that luxury up there. Well, I'm glad you got your power back, and I'm glad you're back in business here.
Yes.
And we wish everybody the best that's up there in New England. You know, it was a rough couple of days, but kind of pretty and fun. You probably got to play a little too, so.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. The horses did. They do like, I'll tell you, they definitely get frisky after a storm. Yeah. I mean, partly because, yes, they're locked in for a couple of hours extra, but I let my guys really run around the day before because I knew it was coming. So I didn't want them to get real stiff and achy. But it doesn't matter, you know, when they come out into that snow, they're like, yeehaw, kicking up their heels and rolling and rolling and rolling in it. I don't know what it is about deep snow that makes the horses want to roll.
Yeah, even if they have blankets on, they're rolling, you know.
Yeah, and even if they've rolled a million times the day before, they come back out and they want to roll again. Because I thought, well, again, maybe it's because they're stuck in their stalls for longer than usual and they want to, like, you know, stretch and twist and all that. But I don't know. I think they just like to play in it. I do think there is a sincere element of let's play.
Well, let's go to our first guest here. And our first guest is with is our regular segment that we do once a month. It's Jody Werner, who's a spokesperson for Deer Murray. And Deer Murray is a horse that answers questions from other horses, sort of like Deer Abbey does for people. And we thought it would be fun to pick one question every month and talk about it and just have a little conversation about it because he gets some interesting questions, Murray does. So today we're actually going to be talking about muck and wheelbarrows. So let's go to Jody. Well, we have Jody with us, who is the spokesperson for Deer Murray. And this week, or this month, we picked out a question that Murray got, and Helena's going to read the question, and Jody's going to read Murray's answer.
How are you?
Okay.
Glad to be with you again. Helena, you weren't here the last time or two I talked to Glenn, so I'm glad you're back on the job.
I know we were just talking off air about how starstruck I get every time Jody comes on, and then now we actually have this Deer Murray segment, and there's this, on my show notes for the day, there's a photograph of Murray in all his Murrayness, sticking his head out like, bring it on, sister, what you got?
His carrot face.
And it feels, I am a little starstruck. I mean, Murray's a big deal. So I'm very excited to read today's question for Deer Murray. It starts, Deer Murray, why do horses eat hay out of the muck buckets? We put fresh hay down and they mix it all up in the shavings and poop on it. We come to clean the stalls and take the soiled hay out. They act like it is the best thing in the world and eat it out of the muck bucket. Why is it suddenly so wonderful? Grossed out groom.
And Murray's answer was?
Well, Murray said, dear grossed out groom, that is our version of a tossed salad. Ugh. We're waiting for the flavors to mix before we eat it. Horses enjoy eating their food more than once. The taste is wonderfully complex after it's passed through us. Ask your dog. He thinks horse poop is delicious.
It's true.
The fact that you put it in a bowl for us to eat out of is awesome. We like it to ferment a bit before we eat it, so can you leave the salad bowl, muck bucket in our stall and go away for a while? Better yet, fetch us some salad dressing. Have you got any gray poop on?
Gray poop.
Actually, Honestly, some beer would probably make a good salad dressing, too. I'm sure he wouldn't turn that down either.
And Murray's a beer drinker?
Murray likes his beer. He's old enough to drink, too.
He's old enough to drink, Murray.
This is true, though, isn't it? How many true? You go in there with the wheelbarrow, the muck tub, and you're cleaning the stall, and the horse is eating there. And that darn hay has been laying there all night.
And they probably peed on it and tried to put their own dressing on it, too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That always used to amaze me that I would throw a fresh fleck of hay in there, and he would pee on it.
Yep.
Seriously? Seriously. Can you not dunk it in the water bucket like the other horses do?
And the price we pay for hay down here in Florida, let me tell you, get mad when they pee on the hay.
I guess it's an acquired taste.
But it is true. I mean, all horses seem to do this. And Murray's answer was really good because it's like, if I don't have a problem with it, why do you? And it's a good point.
And
I did catch him eating his neighbor's, little mare neighbor's manure once. And then he wanders over to me and wants to give me a kiss. And I'm thinking, oh, no, peppermint.
Poopermint.
Next time your horse comes up to give you an unsolicited kiss, you just think about that.
Poopermint. Well, that's a good question. I wonder if they're more prone to eat out of the muck bucket after they've had treats. So if you give them treats the day before, I wonder if they're really interested in their salad
Better be careful. You don't know where they've been or what they've been eating. Murray used to also like to stick his head in the bottom of garbage cans and see if maybe there was something down there that was delicious.
You're right about the dogs, though, too. Dogs are the same way. You know, and the other problem with dogs is the kitty litter. That's the other problem with dogs. But you can understand that with dogs. You don't usually think about it with horses.
No, although they do like to go out and roll in mud and manure and whatever they can get all over them. And that's kind of like dogs that seem to like to roll in the smelliest thing they can find and then come home and jump on your bed.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Helena has the biggest dog in the world, too, so... when that happens, it's a bad thing.
Oh, we're big kind of dog.
We have a Saint Bernard, a female Saint Bernard, and she likes to eat. And then we have a neighbor dog she's a Labrador and maybe 9 months old, but she likes to eat the manure, play with the manure, and then roll in the manure. So, and she likes to come over and visit.
Well, some people, I bet she's really easy to buy for on her birthday then.
Well, you know, at one point, because it's freezing here, I have my gloves on, I'm doing the stalls, and she keeps picking up this one frozen piece of manure and dropping it in front of me. And I had to do it. I had to pick it up and toss it for her. And I thought, this is what my life has come to. I'm playing fetch with a dog and a piece of poop.
Oh, my God. At least it's horse poop, and it's not quite let's say, aromatic as dog.
No protein in it.
I can't believe we're talking about poop. We are, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And we're enjoying it.
Poop humor in the morning. What else? What could be better with your coffee?
Breakfast of champions.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Jody. Where can people find more of Dear Murray?
Murray has a Facebook page. And if you log on to Facebook and just search for Dear Murray, you can find him there.
And he has merchandise, too, right? You Murray has merchandise, and also you have merchandise from Misfit Designs.
I do as well. There's a link on Murray's page to his merchandise, as he calls it. And there's all kinds of horsey humor on my Cafe Press store, which you can find at cafepress.com/JLWDesigns.
Very good. And we'll post a link to those on our Facebook or on our show notes for this episode as well. Thank you so much, Jody. We appreciate you joining us and I hope you feel better.
I feel better. What could be better than getting up first thing in the morning and talking about horse poop?
That's right. That's why we love you.
Hi all, Glenn the Geek here, and we're excited to bring you a special offer for Horse Radio Network listeners from one of my favorite companies, and that is Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Audible has over 85,000 titles to choose from in every genre: thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, sports, and so much more. Audible titles play on your iPhone, your Kindle, your Android, or more than 500 different devices that you can listen anytime, anywhere. My wife and I love Audible books. We've been a member of Audible since 2004 and have listened to over 100 books with Audible. What horse person, you know, who has time as a horse person to sit down and to read a book anymore? Yet I found the time to listen to books on Audible. When I'm not listening to podcasts while I'm riding, cleaning stalls, or at the gym, or driving, I'm listening to Audible books. And for the listeners of the Horse Radio Network, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/HRN. That's audibletrial.com/HRN for Horse Radio Network. And you can download your free audiobook and get your 14-day free trial today. If you can't remember that, just check out our website and you'll find a link to it right there. Enjoy your book. We know you will. Well, coming up next is the world's largest ass. And guess who has it?
Me?
Kara Yellott has the world's largest ass.
Phew. God.
You lost a lot of weight. You don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, but you always lose it in the wrong places. I mean, not that I'm complaining. I'm happy to lose it from anywhere, but, you know.
As long as it's not 17 hands tall, you're still not the world's largest, Carolina. So,
exactly.
So let's talk to Kara Yellott about the world's biggest donkey. She lives in North Texas. We're going to learn all about Romulus. Well, hi, Kara. Welcome to the Stable Scoop Show.
Hi, thank you.
And congratulations on maybe, keep your fingers crossed, officially having the world's biggest ass. You must be so proud.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't easy to come by, let me tell you.
It's hard to gain 2,000 pounds, isn't it?
I know. And the ripoff is I didn't get to have cake and cookies to do it. I had to go out and buy them.
Tell us about how you acquired Romulus and Remus.
Well, I was actually looking for a guard donkey for my goats, of which I have exactly two. And I think I overkilled it. I was looking at Craigslist ads, and I saw these guys. I've always kind of liked mammoths, and they were so thin. And they looked so sad in the picture. So we just kind of brought them home as a rescue. My husband said we could keep them for a year and see how they worked out. He's madly in love with them now, so that's never been mentioned again.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how old are they? Well, let's start with Romulus. He is, quote unquote, the big guy, right?
Yeah, he's okay. 9.
Okay.
And his little brother is 7.
And his little brother's... So they're fairly young. I know horses, if they're well taken care of and depending on their breed, they can live well into their 30s very happily, some further than that. Do donkeys have a similar lifespan?
Donkeys actually live even longer. Donkeys and mules both.
So they're pretty
hard. There was a donkey registered just a few years ago now with the ADMS, and I think she was 62.
Whoa.
60-something, and they were just getting around to doing their paperwork.
Oh, my gosh.
And before we get too much further, let's remind everybody how we get a donkey and how we get a mule.
Oh, right. A donkey and a horse really are two entirely separate animals, and a mule is a cross between the two, specifically breeding a jack to a mare. So people kind of lump donkeys and mules together, but truthfully, a mule is exactly as much horse as it is donkey.
Gotcha. Okay.
That is probably the simplest, most articulate explanation I've ever heard. That was okay. So that's major street cred.
Am I the only one that ever, whenever I hear about a donkey or a mule, I have to think about it all over my head again about which one is which and how we get to that. Am I the only one that gets stuck in that almost every time?
Probably.
I probably am.
Probably.
Sorry.
Maybe at this party. I'm sure I've heard it before, though.
You want a job, Kara? You need an extra host here. So, your donkeys, Remus and Romulus, are fairly young, but they're done growing, right? So their height at this point is pretty much what they're going to be for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Say? Okay.
Please.
fingers crossed. And now, is it any more challenging having donkeys of this size than it would be for...
Absolutely. And it's not even as much a feeding issue. They're actually pretty light eaters, thankfully. it's more of a training issue. Romulus especially is very fearful of humans. He's come a long way since we got him. I strongly believe he was, I don't want to say abused because I couldn't prove that, but maybe more roughly handled than what he needed earlier in his life.
Sure.
And if he decides that he would like to leave, he is dragging me behind him.
Now he is, and let's tell everybody so they get an idea. By the way, we'll post a picture on in our show notes at stablescoop.com. He has the saddest looking face. He looks so sad. But now he measured what when you did the official measurement for the Guinness Book?
17 hands.
And what was the old one?
15.3.
Wow. That's 4
yeah,
inches.
Yeah, so we kind of blew it out of the water. I was expecting to hear 16.1 or 16.2. That's what I had guesstimated him at.
Now, did you let his feet... And judging by this picture, you haven't let his feet grow super long either. They look normal.
No. We kind of scheduled so it was right before he was due for his trim, but we didn't go over. His feet are not healthy, and he really can't afford to be let go on trims.
Now, have you done anything with either of them? Have you ridden them or driven them or what have you done with them at this point?
Not yet. I think they would make a lovely little driving team. They're a nice
little
mat.
Driving team. Little. You're going to need like a house behind them.
I know.
That was a poor choice of word, maybe. Yeah. They'd make a very pretty driving team, I think. And I would probably like to ride Remus. Rom is going to be a little bit longer. We're still working on the trust issues with him and all that. And truthfully, I hadn't done a lot of training on them because they were guard donkeys for the goats. You know, they were bottom of the priority list underneath all the horses in line that we trained.
Hey, Kara, I think you went overboard on the guard donkey thing.
No.
Yeah, do you think?
How are they doing their job as guard donkeys?
Well...
Or has their celebrity taken over?
They, right now they're at a boarding stable so that they were more accessible to the public, and also just my entire property slopes. I didn't have one flat spot on which I felt I could measure them and have it be a fair measurement. So we took them over to the stable where I teach riding lessons called 4C and did it in the aisle where we knew it was level. So they're not guarding the goats at all right now. Goats are in a little pen right next to my house, so I'm the guard donkey.
Might I recommend a miniature donkey for the goats? Might be perfect.
I've got some pretty nasty coyotes. I don't think they're nasty enough to require Romulus. But
I've met some pretty nasty miniature donkeys, too. So probably
aw, I have. Poor minis. I know, but still.
There are some little miniature donkeys with an attitude. These two are so sweet looking and so big. I mean, when you look at the ears, are bigger, are almost as long as your arm. I mean, his ears are huge.
Yeah, I haven't measured them either. I need to get on that.
God, they got to be a foot long or more.
Well,
there's a prize at the State Fair of Texas for the longest ear span. I'm not sure his ears are going to do it. And there's only so many biggest, longest prizes he can get. But they do have one.
Now, had they docked the tail, or was the tails just rubbed out?
That's just his tail.
Yeah.
Got.
It's not been docked or anything. Because
no,
I noticed it was pretty short.
That's just all they've got.
Yeah.
You can call it genetically docked if you want.
So how do they how do you think they like living in a boarding stable? I mean, especially coming from an uncertain background, do you think that being handled every day and being socialized and sort of being in this regular, happy, positive, buzzing type of environment, do you think that's good for them?
Oh, I think it's been great for them. I have seen a difference in Romulus even since Thursday, I think, we trailered him over there.
Oh, so they just got there.
Yeah, we just took him there for the measurement.
Oh.
And then there was so much media fuss over it that we decided we better just go ahead and leave him there for a while rather than throw him back in our backyard so nobody could see. And it's been really good for him. He's settled. He's gotten easier to catch, easier to handle. I'm kind of liking having him there. I think it's going to be very good for him.
Yeah. So you think you're going to leave him there for a little while?
Yeah.
Do you get a, will
no,
you get out there?
I don't think my barn owner is going to let him go without a fight at this point. She's about all this.
Yeah, she's. This is the most publicity she's gotten for that barn in forever.
Yeah, yes. Stacy is very, very pleased with these boys.
And it's rewarding to, I mean, we work with horses all the time, so it's nice to know that the techniques that you use for making horses feel comfortable and their training, that you can apply the same techniques and methods to donkeys as well and see similar rewards. It is. It's a really nice feeling, especially with such big guys.
Yeah. And some yes and some no. I mean, there are definitely some distinct differences. I had a bit of a culture shock when I brought them home. They are in some ways like horses, in some ways so completely different. Some of the instinctive reactions you would expect out of a horse, the donkeys will do the exact opposite and catch you flat-footed. And you have to outthink them. They are so smart.
I do have a question for you. We have, in the next street over, we live in an equestrian community, and so probably as the crow flies, it's about a half a mile. There are two donkeys, that regular size, normal size, you know, donkeys, 13, 14 hands. And once a day, about 11 o'clock in the morning, those two decide to go at it, and they bray, and I can hear them from here like they were in the next paddock. I can't imagine when these two start. Do they do the braying thing and wake up the entire county?
I'm very lucky in that I don't have much in the way of close neighbors.
Do they go at it, though? Are they really, really loud?
Oh, yeah, they do. And I can feel the vibrations through the floor.
I bet.
My closest neighbor has a rooster, though, so we just stay out of each other's business and don't complain about each other's noisy animals, and it's fairly peaceful.
I can't imagine. Have you ever been up close to one that's braying at the top of their lungs, Selena? It is amazing sound.
I have. A friend had two miniature donkeys called Me and You.
That's pretty good.
Me and You, yeah. And they were very personable, so they would get really excited when visitors came. And so when you, if you got out of your car to go down to their little barn and their little paddock to go say hi, they would start braying. And at first you're like, wow, you know, you think there's a fire somewhere and the fire department's coming down the road. But no, they were, you get used to it. I like the sound. You just need to get used to it. I guess.
It never stops being funny. It's just always comical.
It's true.
Well, that is true about donkeys, isn't it? You're right.
Romulus and Remus are—they've got voices like a foghorn.
Yeah,
it's a baritone bray.
It's like listening to a foxhound. You once you fall in love with the sound, you fall in love with the sound.
There's one thing that you're probably never going to be asked to do, though. Everybody I've ever known that owned a donkey was always asked by the local church to do the nativity scene. I don't think the church is going to be asking.
Probably not.
Because who's ever playing Christ doesn't want to get up there. So
<it's> like, no.
Well, wait a minute. That would be a baby. Duh. So it would be who's ever playing Mary isn't want to get up there.
That's true.
Because she's the one who hitched a ride.
That's
just
true.
Saying.
That's true.
Yeah, and you know what? I bet they'll find plenty of women who'd like to play Mary on Romulus. We'll start with me.
So
me in a sheet.
What's
just
the next
send
step?
Send me down to Texas.
What are you going to do
I'll
next?
I'll suggest the church fall you down, okay?
Perfect.
Is the next step going to be trying to train, get them trained up now?
Yeah. I needed to get on that anyway, so all this hullabaloo should hopefully light a fire under me. We'll see.
Well, and there's one other thing before we let you go that I have to bring up, because everybody in the audience knows that I used to own an acting company and used to do the Renaissance fairs and had an acting company called the Medieval Feasting Guild for 10 years. And you are also a Renaissance fair person.
I am. I started when I was 16 or 17 at the Michigan Renaissance Festival.
Is that right? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Do you go to the one in Texas?
I haven't been to the Texas one too much. It's huge, which is kind of cool, but it's also down there in Houston, and I'm up in Dallas, so I prefer Scarborough Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, yeah. I have friends working there. It's going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah. It starts in April. They're in rehearsals right now, though.
Right. Okay, right. Gotcha.
I believe rehearsals started this past weekend, and I'm not on the cast this year, so I'm
thankfully saved from being out in the cold and the rain this past weekend.
And tell everybody what you did at the Renaissance Festivals.
I've done a couple of things here and there. I used to bring the horses for the King and Queen to ride in the parade up at the Michigan Renaissance Festival. Currently down here at Scarborough, I'm selling swords. I promote the sword shop by going in the parade with one balanced on my head.
Ah, gotcha. Well, that's fun. This is terrific. Congratulations again. When will you know officially?
Well, we have to send in the paperwork, and they said about 3 weeks, although if I'd like to pay something like $2,500, they'd be happy to let me know immediately. So 3 weeks will be.
Yeah, that sounds just fine. Who's in a rush?
Yeah, my patience isn't that expensive.
And what will you get? Will you get a plaque or will you get something?
Bragging rights.
Yeah.
If they like the photographs I send in, they might put it in the actual book. I don't think I did anything special, but maybe.
And you get the satisfaction of all your friends saying you have the biggest ass. How's that been going nonstop now?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, the ass jokes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's a picture of Facebook right now of me scratching my ass. We've heard that one. Once I start riding him, I'll be sitting on my ass. My big ass, of course.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I can't forget the big ass part.
Well, this is fun. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it, and good luck with. We'll check in with you in a little while after you get the training started. We want to hear how they're doing.
Sounds good.
Thank
you,
Karen. All right.
The Barn Works is a small marketing firm which caters to equestrians. Whether you ride professionally, own or manage a boarding facility, sell horses, teach, train, show, or even sell retail goods, our business can help your business blossom. We offer services of all kinds, but what we do offer is focused on marketing your business in an efficient and effective way. Regardless of what creative marketing services you need, the Barn Works offers something that most other marketers don't, free consulting. That means if you don't know what you need or what will work best with your budget, we will sit down with you and figure it out together. No charge. Nada, zip, zero. And with over 20 years in corporate marketing experience, we have an idea about what works. And because we're fully immersed in the horse world, we know what works and what does not work in this crazy, wonderful industry of ours. Go to our website at www.thebarnworks.com. You can see samples of our work and find out how to get in touch. Or just send an email to email@thebarnworks.com. And if there's anyone out there who likes fox hunting, you know, just saying.
If you we don't like know anybody it, like that.
If you like it or you're a fan of it or you want to do it or, well, there's a cute little Facebook fan community that's developing. It's called Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress. And it's actually like a style service. It's about living the sporting life like a lady. You know, especially with the popularity of Downton Abbey and, you know, there's something kind of romantic about a hardy lass. And Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress, I think, epitomizes what it is to be a hardy lass. Essentially, it's a style guide for fox hunters, fox hunting fans, equestrians, and anybody else who really just wants to follow along. So they have these style gurus. And, of course, they're experienced fox hunters, so they've hunted, they've shopped, they've hunted some more, fallen off, gotten back on, made it through hunt ball after hunt ball, dinners, teas, and, of course, ditches. So if any of you have followed along with some of the fox hunting tales that I've had and some of my friends, you know that fox hunting is not for the faint of heart, but it is a whole lot of fun. So if you're in the saddle galloping across the countryside or you're just following along with friends on foot, check out Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress. It's really cute, and it's just a nice distraction to your day. And if you're like me and you can totally turn out your horse and dress your horse, but you can't dress yourself, there's some really good advice to be had about fashion. That's Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress. Find them on Facebook and become a fan.
I did it because there's pretty girls and...
There are pretty girls. And there's pretty girls. There's pretty tractors.
Yeah, there's a pink tractor. Yeah, I see the pink tractor. That's Pepto-Bismol pink, too.
I know.
It's and a John Deere. That's like sacrilege to paint a John Deere tractor anything but green.
Well, no.
Oh, man.
Not if you use it.
John
you
Deere.
Paint it any color you want.
John Deere is rolling over in his grave right now.
No, he's not. He's a fan of chasing a fox. And there'll be lots of really good fox hunting photos, too. There's a few amazing photographers. One of the things that I just have to say this about equine photographers, there are a lot of them out there. And we've had more than a few on Stable Scoop talking about how to capture the right show, shot, right? Some of the world's best. Fox hunting, you know, it's not as widely, I don't want to say accepted. It's not as common a discipline as obviously hunters, jumpers, dressage, even Western. And so I think the images that are captured out hunting aren't as many of them.
Right.
But what we found are a few photographers that capture the essence of riding out in the country so purely and with such passion and clarity, the emotions that are a part of fox hunting are really articulated well with these photographs. So if you want to see what fox hunting is all about, that's another reason to follow Chasing a Fox, because we've got some really neat fox hunting photographs.
I'm going to have to dig out some of the pictures I took from when you and Jennifer used to ride together.
Oh, please do.
I'll have to do that. I still have them. Yeah, I'll have to do that. Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely, I'll do that. Sounds good. You know, I have a project I'm doing for Horse Nation for tomorrow, or for Valentine's Day. They're going to do two posts, one of hot guys on horses at horsenation.com and one of hot girls on horses. So I was asked as America's Horse Husband to put together the pictures of the hot girls on horses.
I have
to do a lot of research. I'll be researching diligently. Just saying, I'm going to be busy, so don't bother me.
I'm going to be busy. Don't bother me.
Let's go next to, let's repeat that. It's Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress on Facebook. And next up, we have our Tack and Habit segment. And the Tack and Habit segment we do every week, we highlight a cool product that we found or tested or a service that we have found that we think is pretty cool. And this week, we're going to be talking about travel. And we're not talking about poor travel either. We're talking about the very best of equestrian travel with High Point International Equestrian Tours and their tour of England. Well, hi, Kathy. Welcome to the Stable Scoop Show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, Kathy, as we mentioned, is with High Point International Equestrian Tours. Tell us about what High Point International Equestrian Tours is, how long they've been around, that kind of thing.
Well, we've been around for 6 years now, and we are the premier provider of horsemanship holidays, which means you can go into Europe or some other popular country and take wonderful riding lessons, whether it be dressage or cross country or even Western. And we also provide the end-to-end equestrian vacations, where you literally will start at one point, travel across the country close to 100 miles, stay at a different inn each day, and you have the wonderful experience of being able to ride for miles without bumping into a road or a fence.
Ugh.
So we're very excited about the opportunities that we can provide. And this is around the world. We are global. You can go to Mongolia. You can go to England. You can go to Costa Rica. And, of course, we've got great rides here in the States. So it's a fabulous opportunity to have an opportunity to connect with both nature and the horse.
Which one has the best pubs?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question, because
that's,
you know,
the
when
one
you're
Helena and I are
long,
going on.
When you ride all day long, you want to get off and you want to be taken care of. First,
we'll
you want
be.
To get yourself a little hammered.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. No, best pubs, Ireland.
Yeah.
You literally can ride up, and as well as the England ride that we'll talk about shortly. But you can literally take the horse up to the pub, tie him on a rail, and go in there and enjoy the country's favorite beverage, which, of course, is ale or Guinness in Ireland. And
does the horse know the way back?
You know,
designated
what? Most
driver.
Of them do, you know?
They do.
Most
they
of
do.
Them do. These horses are well taken care of and love their job. And you pretty much can sit there and not have to worry about which way you're going because the horse will handle it for you.
Wow. So this is very interesting to me, the idea of being able to ride from inn to inn. I think that's not something that you hear about very often, especially in the United States. But mm-hmm. I guess in Europe, it's a little bit more accessible because the countries are closer and smaller.
Yes.
So once you start, so how does your company facilitate that? You kind of line up all the inns. Obviously, you get the horses, you procure those for your customers, and you have this horse. And then do you book the rooms for the guests and the food? How does that work?
Yeah, what happens are there are ride guides throughout the world, and this is what they do. And we have inspected their rides to make sure that the horses are fat and happy and the guides are friendly and the accommodations are nice and the trails are interesting and safe. And we represent them here in the United States. They arrange for all the accommodation and the trails and the horses, et cetera. So we just help get the individual over there and make sure that the guide is waiting for them and that the vacation that they're anticipating is in fact going to occur.
Now, you sent an email and I got this press release and this was the title that got us because Helene and I are both big Downton Abbey fans, as we know much of our audience is. And it says, "The beauty, the history, the romance of England's countryside from on top of a horse. It doesn't get much better." And then one of the sentences in the press release was, "Travelers will easily imagine the goings-on of the men and women of Downton Abbey." Well, now, I don't want to imagine all of them because things have gotten bad somewhat this year. So, but, you know, just you can picture the countryside when you say those words. And what a trip. And this covers 65 to 80 miles.
Exactly. And you are going through the richest, most genteel area of England, which is northern England. And it's steeped in history. And you've got these romantic gardens and these period homes that many of the kings have stayed in earlier times. So this is what I call the Orient Express of horseback riding vacations, because it is just top level all around and every which way.
And where do you stay on this particular trip? Are you staying in homes or where are
yes.
you staying?
Oh, that's what makes this a five-star ride. You are actually staying in the homes of people who live in the area. And these are individuals whose families, you know, go back generations, and they've mingled with royalty, and the homes are just like you find in Downton Abbey. And they have their private chefs prepare your meals for you. It is an uncommon experience.
Wow. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, wow.
I know. I know.
In addition, what's happening, and this is true with all of the rides that we do, is you actually ride through old world villages, and many of them have cobblestone streets. So if you can imagine riding through the middle of this village and you're hearing your horse's feet on the cobblestones, and you get such a different perspective than if you were in a car, because you're getting to peer in the windows and look over the walls, and you're really getting a sense of how the local folk live day to day. And in addition to that, some of these picnics that you have are on the castle grounds, or as I said, in these, you're actually tying your horse up to a stake outside of the pub, and then you're going in and enjoying a beverage. So an uncommon adventure for sure.
Now, is somebody transporting my clothes and stuff, or do we actually
yep.
take them along?
Nope. There's a van that follows the ride, and your luggage is transferred to your next destination every day.
Oh.
The only thing you have to do is just show up.
Just show up. Well, you know what? Get me the right horse, and that's not a problem.
Yeah, speaking of that, what are we riding anyway? That's a good question.
Well, what they have there are hunters. So you're going to have a
field
lot
hunters?
Of... Field hunters? Yeah, field hunters. Uh-huh.
Perfect. They're usually comfortable, yep. right? Just keep trotting.
Yep.
Just keep trotting.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a warm blood, so they're going to be, the bigger horse, but they're sensible. As I said, these horses are amazing. On all of the rides, they love what they do. They're not going to put you into any danger, and they pretty much know exactly where they're going. I mean, when you find them suddenly start walking faster, you know you're going home.
Designated driver.
Yeah, that's right.
That Guinness is looking good.
Now, do you do any? This trip, before we get off this trip, this one is available and happens when?
April through September.
Okay.
And there's actually three different routes that you can take. It runs from Sunday to Thursday. And they give you the option of either shortening the ride if you're going to, you know, London and you just want to ride for a day or two, you can take a shorter version of this, or you can certainly lengthen it.
And one important thing, too, is they're for this particular trip, because of the mileage and the country you're crossing, they're looking for intermediate to advanced riders.
Of course,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, not a beginner's. This isn't a beginner's trip.
None of our rides are really beginner's trips.
Okay.
These are really for horsemen. And you'll do trotting, and you'll do some galloping. So, again, if you can imagine galloping in some open fields, and there's no four-lane highways that you're running into, or somebody's fence that you can't cross into their property, this is what's happening during these rides.
It includes 4 to 5 nights accommodations at 5-star private manor homes, 4 or 5 days of riding, horse, attack, guide, all meals, and transfer to and from the train station. Now, you have to cover your own airfare. But this, as you said, this is the epitome of an equestrian trip.
I need to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is anybody out there listening?
Yeah.
I need to go.
She needs a sponsor.
Yeah, somebody take me. I need a sugar daddy.
Now, where can people find out more about this trip?
They can go to our website. It's highpointwithanetours.com. So if you can think of the high point of your life as doing these rides, you'll remember our name.
Oh, that's a good way to do it. Now, do you have any that – I'm a carriage driver. Do you have any carriage trips?
Oh, are you kidding? I've got the most fascinating, wonderful carriage trips. We have one that goes through Tuscany.
Oh.
And you can choose to drive if you want, or you can just choose to sit in.
No, I want to drive. I want to drive. I want to drive.
Okay, yeah, you can drive through Tuscany. They've converted old post carriages, and you can drive in Tuscany, or they also do it in Bavaria. So if you can imagine this, you're in this big, wonderful stagecoach. The driver is dressed in German Bavarian driving clothes, and you pull up to King Ludwig's castle.
Ugh.
I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I looked at that ride a couple years ago, and for folks who can't ride anymore but still want that experience, it is amazing. And you go from end to end with those. Italy is outrageous. They do some crossing of little rivers, and they're going along the ocean. It's an amazing trip for a carriage enthusiast, and you can drive.
You're very good at your job,
because you know what, I love this. When you go on these rides, it is you can't take your cell phone because it generally doesn't work. You know, you are immersed in nature, and you are connected with your horse, and you will meet the most fascinating people, because people are coming from all over the world to be on these rides, and it is an amazing adventure. It truly is.
Well, this sounds absolutely fun. I'll tell you what, you can find out more about all of the trips at highpointtours.com, and I'm sure this is the kind of thing where people should just call you and talk to you.
Anytime. Yeah, we're always available.
If they're interested, lots of questions. And
sure.
When can I go? When's the next trip to... I don't know. It's wintertime. I'm debating between going someplace warm and hitting those pubs in Ireland.
Well, Ireland will start up in April and May.
Okay.
May and June are good times to go there, because there's not a lot of rain. But south now, Africa is looking good. You can go to Australia. Costa Rica is great. Mexico, anything south of the border. Brazil, you've got fabulous rides. all over the place. So if you have, you know, just the feeling that you've always wanted to go to this particular country, I mean, give us a shout. We probably have a good ride there.
Very good. That's highpointtours.com. Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks so much for your time.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much to everybody from the Western Radio Show who stuck with us and listened in to this show. We really appreciate you being here. You know, occasionally come over and visit us here at the Stable Scoop Radio Show. We talk about anything and everything. We're not English. We're not Western. We're just equestrian lifestyle. So if you like horses, you'd probably like hearing about the guests that we have on. And, of course, as I said, Tammy's getting better, and we're wishing her all well, and she should be back in the saddle in no time. Let's hope, anyway. I wish, you know, that she could be out there competing again someday soon. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we're all praying for her because she's so competitive.
And sweet.
I know. And just, you know, this has been really killing her not to compete because she's been competitive for so long that, you know.
Well, now she's competing with her own body,
yeah.
So.
Now she's
a champion. She's a champion all around. I have great faith in her ability to beat her challenges.
In the meantime, we'll keep you entertained here. We'll make sure that the Western Radio Show gets some love while we're waiting for their return. And you can find out more about the Stable Scoop Show over at stablescoop.com. And for details about today's show, go to stablescoop.com or westernradioshow.com, where you can find links, photos, and more information about our guests. And, of course, we love feedback, don't we, Helena?
Oh, we do. Good feedback. All right, fine. Bad feedback as well, but good feedback. Send us an email, Helena@horseradionetwork.com. Find us on Facebook. Just search for Stable Scoop. Write nice things. Valentine's Day is here. Send us some love notes. We don't care. Just talk to us.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We hope you have a wonderful day. Give your horses a hug for us. And give them an extra treat, too. And we also want to mention that we have a bunch of other radio shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. So, Helena, that's it for this week.
That's plenty, but there will be more next week. Until then, happy scooping.